Well, today's program is going to be a hybrid program. In essence, we're going to have two different programs in one. The first segment, we're going to be dealing with the regular news stories that we do here on Truth to Ponder and commentary. Then on the second half, I want to spend some time giving you some updates, and I want to share something very personal from my heart to you.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to this Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, today I want to share, as I mentioned at the beginning, it's going to be a hybrid program, kind of done in two segments, first half and second half. First half, and we're going to talk about some of the news stories that didn't get, I believe, the attention they deserve from the latter part of last week. And I don't want those stories to get, you know, swept under the rug. But I want to start out by sharing with you something that I posted on social media roughly 4 years ago. It was in September of 2020 that I wrote this. And this was right at the beginning of doing Truth to Ponder in the first weeks. I put this up on social media. And I want to share it with you. What I wrote and what I shared back then. And it really had to do with responding to a post that I had read from somebody else regarding what was going on with the pandemic. Remember, we were in the height of the big pandemic 4 years ago. It all began with those stories that started to pop out at the end of 2019 and grew with intensity after the first of the year. And the fear-mongering by February, and before you knew it, March hit, and we were in it. And I was commenting that some of the things that I've read, I don't 100% agree with. But this is what I said. Are there questions that need answers? And I said, absolutely. And here's what I wrote. I watched as local government agencies geared up for an event that never met its billing. Places where predictions, and this goes back to the time that I worked in emergency management for a large county, the predictions of 1,500 to 3,000 deaths that would occur pretty much by the middle of summer, it never happened. By the month of May, instead of 1,500 deaths, we only had six. I watched facilities that were made ready for the huge surge of patients to help with what they expected to just be overwhelmed and just destroyed hospitals, running much lower than half of their normal patient load. Entire floors were being shut down and staff now enduring their hours being cut or even being in some cases that I know of personally where people were furloughed for a season and even laid off. And those specialized emergency facilities that I helped build when I was doing my work in emergency management in the first half of 2020, by the time I was writing this in September, where they were being dismantled because they were never used. Even some of the morgue space that we had developed, hidden from view using refrigerated trucks, old refrigerated trucks and generators, never got used. We had everything ready. And this is what I wrote. I'm seeing a division of people, some that now live in total fear, and those that are scratching their heads, wondering why their job is gone. Their bank account is now empty. And they're getting angry knowing that the government workers are getting their full paycheck and not having to follow all the so-called rules. The 500,000 to 2 million deaths never happened by the fall of 2020. And remember, this number was based upon even following all of the ridiculous COVID protocol stuff. People were asking questions. Why can you shop at Walmart, but maybe not at Kohl's? Why is the dollar store open, but any mom and pop store shut down? why can't you have elective surgery, but you can have an abortion, which, by the way, is elective surgery? Why would you stay inside when you know that heat and sunlight would kill this virus? Why can't kids who are not at risk play on an outdoor playground where the sun is killing the virus? Why don't people understand that these are nothing more than recommendations and they're not laws, and a law must go through a very specified constitutional process? Why is it okay, we saw this, for government officials to get haircuts but not common citizens? Why the fear when this virus had a far below 1% death rate, and with more testing it's getting even lower with each passing week? Why have coroners questioned death certificates listed as COVID-19? Why are places, now this is September of 2020. Why are places like Chicago and New York gearing up for some kind of mass vaccination program? Remember, we didn't even know of any kind of a so-called vaccine yet. What makes one person essential and somebody else not? Does shelter at home mean that there's a whole population of people not staying home so we can? Why are they dividing us? How do people not know? How do you not know that we as a republic, we're not a democracy, by the way, and where did the flu go in 2020? It just vanished. Nobody had the flu in 2020. It just didn't happen. The hundreds of thousands of flu deaths just magically vanished off the face of the earth. There were like none. And after we had months of lockdowns, and they're still telling us to wear these face diapers and masks? Why is the CDC saying kids need to be masked when they return to school? And this was, like I say, back in September of 2020. Why is church still not a good place to go? And why, knowing that wearing a face mask of any kind for a child is reducing the oxygen level to their bodies and to their brains? Why do you want to restrict the ability of a young child to breathe, making it even more difficult for them to learn? What is this oppression and loss of liberty doing to the mental health of our children? And what was this opposition, this oppression? And you couldn't oppose this. If you did, you were being shut down by the likes of Twitter and Facebook, and by the time we got to 2021, it became mass government interference the day that Biden took office. Why have most other deaths? And this is something that I pointed out. The numbers were out there. Why did most other death rates magically drop when the virus appeared? Now, I want you to think about this. Cause of death for all kinds of things, from heart disease and cancer, all radically dropped in 2020, but COVID was up there. COVID was climbing, and everybody was thinking COVID. We became COVID crazy. Why did world leaders meet in China in October of 2019? Why was there an event 201 in New York City to talk about a pandemic, a coronavirus getting into pigs in South America, escaping to some poor soul and then spreading globally? How are we going to respond and shut it down? I asked this question. Why were hospitals paid more for COVID-19 deaths than any other? Why are some doctors speaking out and others getting silence? And let's go back to prior to 2017, when Obama was still president. Why did he give $334 million to the Wuhan lab in China? And by that time, we were all wondering about this, the guy that stole an operating system and called it something else and then stole another idea from Apple, Bill Gates, who built this entire company on stealing somebody else's work and he got away with it. When did he become an expert on pandemics and viruses and vaccines? Now, I'm adding that. I didn't say vaccines back then. And what did a computer geek like Bill Gates have to do with the pandemic? And why does he want 7 billion coronavirus vaccines? Why did they want to start talking about digital IDs in 2020 and Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030? Why did the CDC have a job posting for pandemic relief workers in November of 2019? And I'd found all this material and shared it with you 4 years ago. The CDC was asking in November of 2019, posting a job looking for pandemic relief workers. Who knew what and when? You know, why do you think I don't trust the CDC anymore? Because they lied to us terribly. They really did. And they were telling us, you know, when the vaccine finally came out, if you get vaccinated, you'll never get COVID. Well, that was not true. Wasn't true at all. It was never a fully tested vaccine, and they had to change the definition of the word vaccine to even get it through. Why did Dr. Fauci say in 2017, right about the time that Donald Trump was being inaugurated the 45th president of the United States, why in the world would he tell the world that they will be, not might be, will be? Remember that. It was Dr. Fauci in 2017 that said the Trump administration would be faced with a surprise pandemic. And then, do you understand? And then, of course, he's the guy that runs the entire pandemic team. You know, he gets in there. You know, Mike Pence, the coronavirus task force, and there's the little cockroach behind the podium telling us all the things we can and cannot do. And changing his mind on medical science along the way. Remember, he told you early on when he was interviewed by CBS News, face diapers don't do anything in terms of a viral pandemic. There's zero, they don't do anything. There's no benefit. But suddenly, hey, 2 masks are better than 1. How about 3? How about 300? I don't know. And here's something else that bothered me. Why were Christians infringed upon when it came to their religious freedoms? But in many places right here in the United States, Islam was exempt from many of those same restrictions. They could worship. Churches were being shut down. I can remember Lori Lightfoot. Remember her? Former mayor of Chicago. And I can remember she was so angry at the idea that some church might be worshiping this Sunday that she called out all the tow trucks to tow all the cars off the street by this church on a Sunday morning. Turned out the cars they towed had nothing to do with the church. They were just, you know, law-abiding citizens with their cars parked on the street. She embarrassed herself thinking that she was going to show some church who is boss. You know, when you look at the big stores, like, you know, Lowe's, Home Depot, and Maynard's in some part of the country, you could go there, but you couldn't go to a local church building. And I ask now in retrospect, why did 30 to 50% of small local businesses end up bankrupt and gone? And I said then, it didn't matter what your political party was. Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, Green, doesn't matter. You should be asking questions, and you still should be asking questions. You want to know why? Because the government has not fully answered those questions. Why are they being evasive? Why do they do this duck and dodge routine when it comes to asking questions? Why did some state governments and many governors in particular, they became drunk with power. And they loved it. It was almost like evil showing up in their faces. You know, Gretchen Whitmer up in Michigan was a great example. You can go to the Home Depot and you can buy cleaning supplies to kill the virus, but you cannot buy gardening supplies to feed yourself. Ooh.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
I remember people like Governor Murphy in New Jersey, just adamant, we've got to shut down everything. You know, going to a health club, healthy people trying to stay healthy. It was dangerous because of
COVID-19.
This slimy governor is out there, you know, chaining up businesses so they can't open. I don't care if you go out of business. I don't care if you go bankrupt. I don't care if you can't pay the rent. You got to shut down because you're not essential. But I, as the governor, am. My staff is essential. Government workers everywhere are essential. All government workers. And the ones, hey, what we'll do is we'll have them stay home in their PJs and hang around online and pretend they're working so they can keep their paycheck. It was the most insane time I've ever seen in my life. And I'd come out of retirement to help out. And the longer I stayed doing that kind of work, the more ridiculous things seemed to become. I came on board in 2020 with an open heart, an open mind, and a spirit of wanting to help do my part for what appeared to be some kind of a big crisis about to hit the United States. What did you and I know in December of 2019 when the first little stories came out? We probably ignored them. I didn't, but I remember them. But, you know, it's like, it's not going to bother us, is it? And then the stories kept getting gradually amplified as if choreographed by design. And looking back now, they were. Everything about this pandemic was 100% planned from the onset and had been planned for years. Governments lied to us big time. The CDC, supposedly an independent health department of the United States, lied to you consistently and still does. The CDC put in protocols in place that I really believe killed hundreds of thousands or more people unnecessarily in hospitals. I really believe that. I have talked to too many people that have lost loved ones because of the hospital protocols. I know of two people. One in particular was like hours away from being put on a ventilator because it's too late. And he probably will not live, but we're gonna heroically try and put him on a ventilator. You have to know his wife. You have to know their children, and you had to know their attorney, who late at night were able to get into that hospital. And with not that much security, they got him out. And any security guard saying, you can't go there, you can't take him, you can't. The lawyer would say, what's your name? I'm suing you. What is your name? I'm suing you personally. I mean, this battery of lawyers and these security guards were in panic mode. And the guy got out. He's alive because of that. I really believe he would have died. I was getting daily reports for about a week and a half that it was going downhill. There was no hope. Well, like I say, with the help of an army of lawyers and some strong military type kids, they got him out. But how many didn't get out and how many died unnecessarily? It was in that backdrop that I started thinking about doing this particular radio program. The thought started to come to me in May of 2020. I finished up my work, and I thought right away, I need to share what I've learned. And I need to explain to people that you're being lied to by federal government, state governments, county governments that are just passing on the lies they're ordered to share. hospital protocols that made no sense, this silly face diapering, and all the claims of how many people would die. And then I've got stories, and I'll share them with you if I have time today, of how death numbers were actually inflated, I really believe 100% by design. Like I mentioned before, there were no incredibly high number of excess deaths in 2020 or 2021 because the flu had vanished, heart disease had vanished, cancer was almost wiped off the face of the earth. But man, COVID deaths were on the scary rise, and everybody was face diapering, praying for a vaccine to save the day, and obeying Lord Fauci and Scarf Burks and the rest of the clown show that was out there, all working together. By the way, we know that Deborah Burks can't stand Trump, either did Fauci, and they were just thrilled to death to make him look bad and get him out of office. They did their part with their pandemic. And they have been ego, well, especially Fauci, his ego, is reverse proportionality to his stature. Let's leave it at that. How many lies can they tell and get away with? But they did. And here we are 4 years down the road. And too many people are just trying to forget. It's behind us now. Virus? What virus? Most people, they're tone deaf now when they try to talk about monkeypox or some other new thing that'll come down, bird flu, because they were so beaten up. Smart people started to get it, that this was blown out of proportion, and they're not listening as much as they did before. The big pharmaceutical companies made billions upon billions of dollars in profit on a vaccine that I think personally is worthless, and the harm way outdoes any possible benefit they claimed it could ever give. And it appears that if you are highly vaccinated, you are more prone to turbo cancer, a shortened life expectancy, and you get COVID more than once, two and three, in some cases, four times or more. Yet they still, I had to go by and pick up a prescription at a pharmacy. And I'm seeing the sign, get your COVID vaccine. No way. I can remember back when it first came out, people sitting in the chairs lined up to roll their sleeves up. There's nobody waiting to get vaccinated, even for the flu shot anymore. By the way, I stopped taking the flu shot. I've taken it, I think I'll be 70 next month. And I probably have taken the flu vaccine maybe four times, but I think it's really three. And I can tell you the years that I had the flu shot were the years that I had the worst flu or flu type symptoms and that I could ever imagine. And I mean, I was out of work for like 2 weeks one time. And ever since I stopped taking that flu vaccine, I haven't had the flu since. So we're going on year, let's see, this is 2024. We're going on 15 years I have not had the flu. And I have not had a flu vaccine. And I have not had a COVID vaccine or an RSV vaccine. You know, doing my regular, last week I had a regular health appointment, when you get my age, they want to see you once a year. And they're going down this whole list of vaccines, and I said, not interested, nope, thank you very much, nope, 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 not, nope, nope, forget it, not happening. And I looked at this one gal putting down the information. She goes, you don't want to take a flu shot? I said, ma'am, the three or four times I've had the flu shot are the only times in my life I've had the flu. Right now, I'm 15 years flu-free, and I want to stay that way. So do not even ask anymore. In fact, don't ask me about any vaccine of any kind. I will never take a vaccine again as long as I live. And no government official is going to force me to take a vaccine. period. I'm not doing it. I'm turning 70. And I've lived pretty well, a good life, virtually not having any vaccine. I mean, I had the childhood ones of, 70 years ago. But after that, none. And I want to keep it that way. I'm going to just kind of tilt here a little bit. I do admit, in looking at the numbers, I think that whether you like him or not, on a lot of levels, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is right about one thing. Seems that ADHD and autism spectrum illnesses have skyrocketed in perfect tandem with the uptick in childhood vaccinations and number of vaccines. And Big Pharma will say, no, it can't be our stuff. It can't be. Don't even look there. Don't even investigate it. We don't want it. You don't need to know. We just know it can't be us. That makes me really believe that we need to look at this vaccine industry. Yeah, seriously. This, what I call vaccine industrial complex, like the military industrial complex. They get their money from insurance companies and the government. And they're like a Hoover vacuum cleaner sucking out coins in the sofa, wanting every dime they can make. It is companies like Pfizer and Moderna and others that came out with a vaccine that is, I believe, unsafe, little or no efficacy, and we do not know yet what the long-term effects are going to be, but the trend is beginning to show it's not good. And they were held blameless for any deaths that they may cause. And when you sign that little piece of paper, the emergency use authorization, you signed away all of your legal rights that you knew that it was an experiment. And then people like, Joseph Robinette Biden, the so-called president of the United States, they were trying to coerce companies saying, fire those that don't get, if you're over 100 people, you got to fire any unvaccinated person. People in many government jobs, the military, healthcare, they were forced. It was voluntary. Yeah, voluntary. If you don't take it, you're going to lose your job, lose your house, lose your life. Yeah, sure. Yeah. This was forced. You might as well put a gun to their head and said, take it or die. I want to see in the next year, and this is why I talk about how you vote and when you vote and who you vote for, and a lot of you don't get it. This is why it is so cotton picking important. Yeah, a lot of people will worry about who's the president come, voting time in November. But who is your congressman? Who is your senator at the federal level? Who represents you at the local level in your state house? Your state legislature, your state senators, your governor, your mayor, your sheriff, your dog catcher. I don't care. Where do these people stand on the issues? Do you really know? Do you even know who they are? In your county or parish, whatever you call it, who represents you? In your city, town, or village, who represents you? And what do they stand for? Your school boards? You need to clean house at every level of government, because changing the president changes very little if we do not change the rest. And the most important thing, I believe, is to change people around us to have their eyes open and see the truth. There are a lot of delusional people out there. We got lied to. What was that story last week? That clown in New York City, the COVID czar under de Blasio, having sex orgies. It was okay for him not to social distance, but you had to. That tells you all you need to know. They knew the virus was not as dangerous as they were telling you. We have a lot of things to fix in our nation. But we need to start in our own houses. in our own personal life. You need that right relationship with God to start with, and then vote accordingly. I have said this, and I'll say it again and again all the way between now and Election Day. You're not voting for the head pastor of your church. You're voting for somebody in secular leadership. And your criteria should be which candidate provides the lowest threat to my faith, in other words, your church, your family, your finances, your freedom, and your future. And when you look at the candidates out there, it's obvious that Kamala Harris is a threat to every one of them, whether you want to believe it or not. But there's so many people blinded by, we need abortion, abortion, more abortion. We need more baby killing. We need more bodies butchered and changed over from boy to girl and girl to boy. You know, we need Kamala and Tampon Tim, you know, that really believes that fourth grade boys need to have tampons in the boys' room. I don't know why, but he believes that. But then again, the Bible says people like that are delusional. They have a vexed spirit, and they're delusional unto their own damnation. Don't support them. Don't buy what they're selling. I had some other stories I was going to get to today, but I just wanted to remind you of where we have been, what we are facing, and I pray if we are given any kind of a respite come November, that as Christians, we will take advantage of the time to do what the Lord God Almighty has called us to do. And even if it all falls apart and breaks down, and the church ends up over time being forced back underground, people that want to speak about freedom and employ their First Amendment right, they may watch it erode and disappear. All I can say is be ready for whatever comes. Now, right now, I'm going to take a break. And when I get back, I'm going to change gears entirely to share something with you, a couple of updates in the background, and then something very personal from me to you.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of Truth to Ponder for this Tuesday edition, the 24th day of September in the year of our Lord 2024. I want to share just a couple of updates in the background, things that are going on. The radio station that I'm trying to get built here in Southwest Virginia is moving along. The antenna goes up this week, and as this program airs, it may already be up and getting ready for service. Transmitter is already here. We are going through the music and setting up everything to launch this radio station, WMYC, My Christian Radio, at 93.3. And yes, it is a fully licensed radio station. It's a low-powered FM, but it's fully licensed by the Federal Communications Commission. It's not a pirate station by any stretch of the imagination. And once we get up and running, it'll be online, and I'll share more about that maybe in the next couple of weeks. There's still a lot of work to be done, a lot of music to go through. Health-wise, I'm feeling a lot stronger than I have in quite a long time. With the immunotherapy now over 2 weeks behind me, I'm feeling a lot better. And looking forward to what God has in store over the days and weeks and months ahead. There's so many things that God has laid on my heart to get done for His kingdom, and I feel an urgency in getting that done. Now, I want to take some time and share with you some things that are very personal from me to you. And I don't know if this will mean something to all of you or not. I believe some of you will benefit from what I'm about to share. As I said, coming back into this segment, today is the 24th of September, 2024. And it was 20 years ago today, and I cannot believe, where has 20 years gone? 20 years has just evaporated like, you know, poof, here and gone. It was 20 years ago today that my family and many of my friends, we gathered at the church where I was pastor to say goodbye for now to my wife, Delinda, who had passed away because of a 2.5-year battle with breast cancer. She had done very well initially, and then it came back, and then even though she wanted to give up in early 2004, she tried valiantly some other experimental protocols, and her life was extended, and she was feeling all right all the way into August of 2004. And everything changed suddenly, without warning. And she ended up in the hospital with advanced rapid onset brain cancer. And she had collapsed on the 12th of September and was hospitalized and went into a coma that very afternoon. And for the next 9 days, we gathered as a family, just knowing that the end was coming. And it did. It did early in the morning hours of the 21st. And then we had her funeral planned. And it occurred. It was Friday that year, Friday the 24th of 2004. And that church, I believe, if memory serves me, we were packed way beyond the fire marshal code. We had to bring in extra chairs for the back of the church and down the side aisles to accommodate all those that came. And even though, you know, 20 years have gone by, there are times that the memory is as fresh as it would be like 2 minutes ago or today. But I can tell you that over these years, there were some very dark times. There were some very difficult times. And I'm going to pause right here to give you a little word of encouragement if you are going through this or are preparing to go through this. Let me just tell you that grief is going to do its thing, and you can never avoid it. You cannot escape it. I tried to do that. I tried to pick up the pieces too quickly. And I was just trying to be stoic and move on and do all these things that I thought I was supposed to be doing. And for years, I couldn't understand why everything I tried to do just didn't pan out the way I would have hoped it would. Why was my life in, for lack, I don't want to use the word turmoil. That's too strong of a word. But it just seemed like I was just getting by through life, working various jobs. Ministry had been such a part of my life, but it seemed like the door was for a time closed because I really wasn't ready. And then as the years went by, I got to the point that I needed to start living again. And by 2014 in particular, I mean, look, I had been through a lot between 2004 and 2013. Both good and bad. Things I look back on now that I wish had never happened, and things that I'm glad that they did. But I got to a point that by 2014, I was ready for some major changes in my life. And I'd recognized that even though I had been a church pastor for many, many years, that I had built churches and missions and I'd seen a lot of success, I just didn't have it in me. My spirit wasn't there to be a pastor again. And part of me wanted to run and hide away from it. And yet, in the midst of all that, my position ended up being elevated. And this is going back like 11 years ago. And those that elevated my position said, you'll need this about 10 years from now. That's how their prayer life was. They felt that what they were doing for me would be needed later. And they were right. Time moved on. I moved from where I was at, retired from the kind of work that I was doing, and started pursuing other things, hoping to lead back into ministry. I got myself back into faithful church attendance again, because I will admit there was a season that my heart wasn't there. I was still hurt by some of the things that had happened to me. The old church that I had, just there was a lot. And I didn't realize just how much healing my heart was going to need from all the turmoil of the first almost decade after losing my wife. And so I finally had the time to deal with the grief that I had postponed. And trust me, grief is going to have its way. I waited 10 years, but it was just as intense as being the same day. But God in his grace and his care and his mercy brought me through and brought me to a different place. And when I was thinking to myself as I turned 60 in 2014, I'm wondering, what does God have in store for me? Well, there were some radical changes when I turned 60 in 2014, the kind of work that I was doing, the church I was attending, and trying to, the best way to put it, is to resolve issues of the past and kind of be prepared to be able to move on. In other words, nothing is left anymore that needs to be resolved. Not that my grief was 100% yet resolved, but it was now very manageable, and I was in a position where I felt stronger and ready to do a lot more than I had before. And it's during this time that God really spoke to my heart. Did I do everything right? No. Was I the perfect guy? Absolutely not. But God was preparing me for a new life that I had no idea was just around the corner. By the time we get into the latter part of 2015, there's been a lot of changes in my life. And I'm at peace with myself, my Lord, and where things had gone in the 11 years prior. And for the first time, I felt peace. And then God opened up some other doors. And my life changed dramatically in 2016. And for the next years, I just worked in ministry. I worked in broadcast and started a new life, never expecting what would happen in 2020 with the pandemic and opening up the door for this radio program. I never expected a lot of things, and I'll share them some other day. But today, as I look back, 20 years, and I'm going, Lord, where did all this time go? How could this possibly be? And I'm thinking about that morning that I got up on that Friday early. It's funny, in the months before my wife's passing, we had talked about the just in case this cancer thing comes back, just in case something goes wrong, just in case I don't have time to think about this while I can. She wanted me to help her plan her funeral. And understand the kind of church body that I was in, a very, let's just call it a little bit of pomp and circumstance. We'll just leave it at that. And so I worked hard in planning what would be her service in the event something would happen. And we probably did that in the spring of 2004. And I just saved it on my computer and forgot all about it. I can remember the night that she passed away. I'd been there all day, and the nurse said, you've got to go home and get some sleep. And I got in my car, and I drove the, less than 10 minutes home, laid down, and before I even fell asleep, the phone rang that she had passed. And like the nurse said, it was like she wanted to wait until I was gone. And I saw one thing that has always stood out to me to this day. During the year she had cancer, it aged her tremendously and rapidly. And during the time that she was, dying, there was just this horrible look on her, all about her, just a very sad and dark look, very grayish, very tormented. And when she passed away, there was almost like a glow. And it's like she got 20 years or more back as she looked peaceful. And I knew then something that I know now, and I share this with you. I knew that she was with her Lord. Probably already had been, because I think her body had shut down immensely. And I recognized one thing, that she had a tremendous amount of faith. In putting the final touches on her funeral the next couple of days, there was one thing I had not put in. And I wanted to have some kind of an anthem, because this was going to be, if you understand the denomination I was in, a communion service. And after, quote, the message, I wanted an anthem to be sung, just a short anthem, as they readied everything for the communion part of the service. And knowing her Irish roots, her Irish ancestry, going back probably to the late 1700s, early 1800s in Northeast Georgia, there was this one melody that always stood out to me. And then the words just took hold of me. And I realized this would be the perfect anthem to be sung at her funeral, before we and all those in that place would gather around the Lord's table and share in communion. And every time I hear this song to this day, no matter if it's being sung in a church or on the radio, it gives me pause for thought and gives me a tremendous amount of peace. And as I play it now, I hope it does the same for you.
Say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say,
I want to thank you for allowing me to share from my heart to you, and also share that particular song with you, my audience. And I hope that it was a blessing, and I truly hope that for those that are going through a difficult time, an encouragement to know that Jesus calls you, the weary, to rest in him, and know that someday our traveling days will be done. That we that know Jesus Christ have the sure and present hope of the resurrection and eternal life with him. That those that have gone on before us, we will see again. And that's why I'm still encouraged, even at almost age 70, to continue doing this work for as long as God allows me. Now, I want to take just a quick moment to thank all of you that support this radio program faithfully each and every week. Once again, October is going to be here before you know it. And I need your help to remain on shortwave radio. You can visit our website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. We use Give, Send, Go. You can support us from the website online. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, 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 Virginia 24319. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie 24319. That's 24319. Thank you for listening.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.